This happened about a year ago, when I was 26. I'm a female, and tend to be friendly toward most people. I'm gonna be honest, I'm not a small woman. I'm 5'7", and slightly overweight. But I still get quite a lot of attention, for some reason. This particular day, I was heading home from work. I had a job in a warehouse at the time, and I was wearing old yoga pants, and a bleach-stained shirt. I had no makeup on, my hair was up, and it was summertime in South Carolina. It was hot. I basically looked as unattractive as I possibly could. I just moved into a new apartment, and I was going to build myself some shelves out of wood and cinder blocks. I decided to swing by Lowe's after work to grab some materials I needed. I got one of those large pallet carts and started collecting the things I would require. I take pride in the fact that I'm pretty strong, and being able to build things, lift things, and generally just doing shit on my own. As I'm loading cinder blocks on my cart, this Lowe's employee walks up to me. I smile at him politely. He was maybe 5'11", wearing wire-frame glasses, sparse stash, yellowing teeth, balding, but somehow was still physically fit. He was maybe in his 40s. Although I admit I'm a bad judge of age. He offers to help me.
No thank you. I've got this.
Oh no, this is what they paid me for. He literally takes the cart from me and starts pushing it and begins asking me all these questions. They seem pretty standard at first. What was I building? The materials I needed? Things like that. I answer him but keep them short. I was definitely getting the vibe that he was trying to hit on me. He then starts telling me about how he's a former Marine and his time in the service, and how he stays fit and in shape, and then begins bragging about how strong he is. And I kid you not, he flexes for me. Like, who did this guy think he was? Johnny Bravo? At this point, I'm getting annoyed, but not creeped out. We get to the lumber section, and I begin to grab this board.
No, I can get that for you.
Nah, it's fine. I can do this on my own. He gives me another toothy grin.
Nuh-uh.
Okay, whatever. Maybe he needs to feel useful or something. So I let him grab it. He walks behind me, and as he does, I hear in my ear,
mm-mm.
Like someone looking at something tasty. Immediately I'm like, ah, fuck. Is this going to be one of those situations where I have to awkwardly decline someone's advances? Hoping it wouldn't come to that, I just ignore it. I had to get a couple more things and he insists on getting them for me. Every time walking behind me and making those
mm-hmm
sounds right in my ear. Fuck the rest of the stuff. I just want to get out of here. I tell him that I'm going to the checkout line, and he reminds me of the other stuff I mentioned, and that he could help me with it. No, I need to be going home now. I'm definitely not being friendly, and I'm not smiling anymore. I go to push the cart again, and his creepy sing-along voice, he insists on doing it for me. We get to the checkout, and at this point, I've texted my best friend, and told her about this weirdo following me around in Lowe's. I also tell her his name, which I can't remember at this moment. I said if anything happened to me, that he was the one who did it. I was only half joking. He was really creeping me out at this point. I'm at the register and one of the boards didn't have a tag on it. Mr. Creepy says he will go grab another, and he walks behind me again and whispers,
"Delicious."
In my ear, and I get the chills. He comes back with a new board and walks behind me again, manages to brush against my hip, even though we have plenty of room. Then he whispered,
"Eat you up." Mm-mm.
I finally check out, and this creep is still hanging around. He offers to help me out to my car. I firmly say no.
"Well, I need to come take the cart back when you're done. It'll be easier."
I am not letting him follow me to my car in this huge parking lot, but he persisted that he had to bring the cart back with him. So I say I'll just bring my car to the front and load it up. He finally relents and walks back inside. Thank God. I get in my car and pull around to the front. He emerges from the store.
Let me load that for you.
I had a board in my arms, and he grabs it from me. With his terrible smile, he says in the creepiest way possible,
"Oh no, Gabrielle. I got this. I can get it in there, like swimwear." Mm-hmm.
How the fuck did he know my name? He looks at me like I'm prey. I'm so freaked out at this point, and I'm feeling very unsafe, even though we're in front of the store, and there are plenty of people about. He finishes loading my car, and I don't even acknowledge or thank him. He scoots around, opens my car door for me, and gives me another toothy grin. I completely ignore him, but I have to pass right next to him to get into my car. Right in my ear, I hear him whisper,
"Mm-hmm. Delicious."
I give him the most disgusted look I could muster. This doesn't deter him. He licks his lips and winks at me again. I get in my car and lock the doors. As I put my car in drive, he taps on my window and waves. I heard him saying to drive safe back to my apartment, which he knows by name.
"It was nice getting to know you, Gabrielle."
I got the fuck out of there. I have never seen that man before in my life, and I have no idea how he knows my name or where I lived. I have never gone back to that Lowe's again. Every time I think about that incident, I kick myself for not reporting him. I hesitate to use the word stalked due to the infrequency of when things happened, but I really don't have another word for what's been going on for so long. I'm a 28-year-old female from South Carolina. This man, my mother's ex-boyfriend, has been an unwelcomed intrusion into our lives for 30 years, and frankly, I have a feeling that it's not going to end anytime soon. Short of taking measures that are too extreme to even consider, my family and I don't seem to have any choice other than to put up with it. We can't ignore it, because just when we think it's over, he comes back. He always comes back. We run into him in town, someone mentions his name, or an event will trigger a memory, and we're right back in that hopeless, frustrating feeling of being powerless. I can't recount every single step that's brought my family to this point. This would just go on for too long. But I can relay major events that have happened, even without every detail. This is going to be pretty long, so strap in. I guess I should start at the beginning. To make a long story short, my mom met this guy in high school. His name was Rick. Rick and my mom dated for 4 years. Starting at the end of their senior year. He was the son of a local politician, very good looking and athletic. I have spoken to her at length about her time with him, and she told me that while they were initially together, there was nothing that she saw that would indicate anything was off about him. But slowly, over the course of their relationship, he changed. He started telling her what she could and could not wear, who she could talk to. He told her that she couldn't smoke anymore, that she had to get a new car because he couldn't be seen with her in the old truck she drove, that she had to move out of her parents' house and marry him as soon as possible. He was also pushing hard for her to sleep with him. She didn't, and she has never been able to say, at least to me, why that was, other than having this gut feeling that she shouldn't. For the most part, my mom ignored the way he was trying to control her life. She did nothing he wanted her to do. She's stubborn, and very no-nonsense, so it floors me that she put up with his bullshit for so long. I guess she felt that she couldn't do any better, and thought that, given time, she could change him. But Rick didn't change, at least not for the better. If anything, he got worse. He became verbally abusive, and put her down every chance he got. Eventually, she broke up with him. She had found out that he was sleeping with a friend of hers, among several other women. Over the course of the year they were no longer together, Rick was constantly trying to get back with her. He would call her at work and at home. He would drive by to where she was working her second job, or would follow her whenever she drove somewhere that wasn't work or home. He tried to get her friends to tell him where she was or give her messages from him. He even had his mother stop her in the grocery store and plead with her to take him back. She told my mom that even though she was from, quote, lower class trash, her son was devastated without my mom in his life. While this was happening, my mom met my father, and when Rick found out about it, he seemed to back off a bit. My dad's a big guy and comes from a rough family that had a reputation for fighting. I guess that made him hesitant to continue his stalking behavior, at least for a while. That all changed when my parents got married. My mom would pick up the phone when it rang to hear heavy breathing on the line. A man's voice that was clearly disguised would try to ask her questions about her marriage, or say something lewd about her or the intimate aspect of my parents' relationship. I say try because as soon as she heard the voice, she would hang up, although she wasn't always quick enough. Back then, there were no stalker laws in South Carolina, and since there wasn't any kind of physical assault, there wasn't much that the police could do. Not that they would have anyway. This all took place in a small town, population of hardly more than about 5,000, and the sheriff was real good friends with Rick's father. Suffice to say, the legal avenue was closed off to my family. My grandmothers, tired of the harassment of their children, got together at one point and cornered Rick's mom in town one afternoon. They told her point blank that if she didn't put a stop to her son's behavior, they were going to make sure the newspapers found out about the other recreational activities he had been up to, which, as you can probably guess, weren't legal. Again, the calls stopped. When my sister and I were born, all hell broke loose. Rumors started flying around that Rick was actually our father, and that my mother had been having an affair with him. Pictures of my mom with us at the store, or somewhere in town, would turn up in the mailbox, along with letters stating how much we looked like Rick. What was most disturbing is that these letters would also mention how attractive my sister and I were going to be when we grew up. When my mom showed that particular letter to my dad, he was furious. That night, he drove out to the dive bar where Rick and his friends were known to hang out. Rick wasn't there, but three of his buddies were. My dad demanded that they tell him where Rick was, but they refused. When my dad turned to get back into his truck, the men tried to gang up on him. As I said before, my dad is a big guy and grew up fighting. He handed them their asses. Two broken noses, and the other one lost his front teeth. He told them to let Rick know that he would find him if anything else happened. Several years went by very quietly. We made a life as a close-knit family. But when we were around 15 and 16, things started up again. By this point, Rick had started and failed several businesses, gotten married twice, and had children of his own. With mouths to feed, he had taken a job as a manager at the local grocery store. I was at driving age by this time, and it wasn't uncommon for my mom to send my sister and I to the store while she worked. We always enjoyed this, because it gave us a chance to play our loud music and talk out of our mom's earshot about things she really wouldn't have wanted to hear. You know, typical teenager drama. The first time we went in and Rick was working there, he easily recognized us. I look more like my mom than my sister does, whereas my sister is the spitting image of my father. Plus, it's a small town. It wasn't hard for him to figure out who we were. And when he did, he followed us through the whole store. Every time we turned down an aisle, he would be there, with the creepiest smile on his face. We had no idea who he was. We were practically babies when the pictures and letters had been sent to our mailbox. It was a topic that our parents had understandably not talked about in front of us. It wasn't until we were in our late teens that we were told the whole truth. Rick stopped us at the end of every aisle and would ask us questions, like if we knew what day our mom's birthday was, and if we liked the same things that she did, and if we got along with our father. He told us how pretty we looked and how much we resembled our mother. We brushed most of it off. We were used to being recognized by people in town that knew our parents. Most of the time they would just say things like, "Oh, I know your mom," and never introduce themselves beyond that. So this didn't strike us as weird. It was the shower of compliments about our looks and our figures that made us uncomfortable. We rushed through the store as fast as we could to get away from him and back home. We didn't say anything to our parents. Both of them are overprotective, and we didn't want to stir up any trouble. Stupid idea, I know. Boy, do I know. Because this became a weekly ritual for almost a year. Every week, we would be sent to the store for groceries, and Rick would be there, following us around. No one said anything, even though the cashiers would look at him funny as he stood in the checkout line with us, staring at us and talking non-stop. It got to the point that we would be in tears when we got outside again, but there wasn't a word said. Maybe the other people in the store were worried about being reprimanded, since he was the manager. Maybe they were afraid of him. I don't know. But when we finally did tell our parents, they were furious. Not so much with us, but about what happened to us. We stopped going to that store and started shopping at the Walmart in the next town over. My grandfather met with the store owner, and Rick lost his job. Things went quiet for a few years. Occasionally, we would see him in town, and when we did, we would try to avoid him the best we could. Sometimes he would sneak up and try to talk to us. Being raised on the tradition of Southern hospitality, we couldn't just ignore him without feeling like we were committing a sin, so we tried to keep it as brief as possible. The compliment still came, bizarre and entirely unwelcomed, but neither of us knew how to handle them, other than saying, thanks, before leaving quickly. Time went on, and we attended college pretty far away from our hometown, where there wouldn't be a chance of him running into us. But he was still a presence in our lives. When Facebook finally became popular, he was there, trying to send us friend requests, sending us messages asking us how our mom was doing, and how we were doing in school. We both blocked him. But he somehow found our email addresses. It wouldn't have been hard for him to get them. He just had to ask the right people, and we never thought that we had to guard that information. Both of us were bombarded by emails from Rick, asking us the same questions again about our parents, and talking about how much he looked forward to seeing us, quote, at home. The worst one was an email sent to me, asking me to let my mom know that all she had to do was tell him she was leaving my father, and he would divorce his current wife, abandon his children, and marry her, and that he would be the father that my sister and I deserved. I blocked him immediately and called my sister to let her know so she could be on the lookout. My mom doesn't have an email address, so he couldn't harass her like that, but the heavy breathing phone calls came back for a while. And when we all got cell phones, we did not give out our numbers to anyone except immediate family or people that we could trust, and told him not to give out our numbers to him under any circumstances. Which brings me to the most recent event, and the reason I've decided to sit down and write this out. I've moved back to my hometown, fresh out of grad school, and newly married. Things have been quiet for a long time. Rick was the furthest thing from my mind. My husband and I had to stop by Walmart to pick up some last-minute gifts for Christmas. We split up in the store, and I was just coming out of the restroom. My mind was focused on my phone, trying to call my husband so I could find him in the big supermarket, when I felt a tap on my shoulder. Distracted, I turned around and almost dropped my phone when I realized I was standing face to face with that son of a bitch, Rick. He grinned at me and said, "Well, hello there. Been a long time." I'm ashamed to admit that I couldn't do more than just stare at him. He snuck up on me, and I was so startled and freaked out that I couldn't say a word. He leaned in, still wearing that damn smile on his face, the one he used to wear when he would follow my sister and I around the store. "You look just like your mom. If I was your dad, though, you would look more like me." I was frozen as he grinned at me for what was probably only a few seconds, but it felt much, much longer. I then turned on my heel and walked away, as calmly as I could. I put my phone to my ear and called my husband. It took everything I had not to burst into tears right then and there, in the middle of the store. My husband knew all the stories, and he was ready to come and beat the crap out of Rick for saying anything to me, but I ushered him out to the car. I just wanted to get out of there and go home. When I told my parents about the incident, they became angry as well, and they still are to this day. It seems like no matter how much time passes, Rick is still hanging around like a boogeyman. It's not over, and I know that. It may never be over, but it does feel good to get all this out. I don't know what to make of his little declaration, or what else other than the obvious he might have been implying. It makes me sick to my stomach to think about it. What I do know is that I am very, very grateful that he certainly is not my father, because I can't imagine what my life would have been like growing up with him.